Genesis chapter 50. And if you would please follow along as I begin at verse 15, read through verse 21. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "It may be that Joseph will hate us and pass back for all the evil that we did to him." So they sent a message to Joseph saying, "Your father gave this command before he died. Say to Joseph, please forgive the transgression of your brothers and their sin, because they did evil to you. And now, please forgive the transgression of the servants of the God of your father." Joseph wept when they spoke to him. His brothers also came and fell down before him and said, "Behold, we are your servants." But Joseph said to them, "Do not fear. For am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive, as they are today. So do not fear. I will provide for you and your little ones." Thus he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. The word of the Holy One of God.
The word of God.
Well, here we are at the beginning of a new year. And at the end of the book of New Beginnings, the end of Genesis. One last visit to the book, and we're looking at the character of Joseph as he interacts with his father and with his brothers. The theme, I trust you are quick to pick up on, as I spoke to the kids, as I read the scripture, is that of reconciliation. Reconciliation is a great lesson from the example that's given to us here. But reconciliation, as we think of it in our own lives and relationships, is not always easy. Because reconciliation always involves forgiveness. And that, you probably are well aware of, does not come easily as we struggle with our own pride and not wanting to acknowledge our need of forgiveness. But let's see what we can glean from these few verses that were read. But let me do it this way. First of all, let me give you two observations with regard to reconciliation that are important to keep in view. And then we'll look at those observations in the life of Joseph and his brothers. And then we'll touch upon, in the third place, your life and reconciliation in the light of what we see from God's word. So the two observations that I have concerning reconciliation. The first one is the simplest in a way. It's simply identifying what reconciliation is and keeping in mind this. Reconciliation always presupposes alienation. There's a broken relationship between two people. Reconciliation is what ends alienation and brings about a restoration of the relationship that God intended from the beginning. Let me give you a couple of examples. I was reading this past month Voice of the Martyrs in their monthly prayer journal about a man by the name of Alex from Colombia in South America. Alex was on his way to work at a banana plantation when armed guerrillas boarded his bus, ordered everyone off, and then shot them. Alex was shot in the face, losing an eye, but he survived. He later joined a prison ministry where he ran into Ismael, the very man who had shot him years before. Alex eventually led Ismael to the Lord. But the story doesn't end there. As a result of the peace process in Colombia, many former guerrillas, including Ismael, were pardoned and released from prison. Ismael needed a place to live. So Alex asked him to move into his place. The former guerrilla and his victim are now roommates. And they are now reconciled. Started with great animosity and alienation, ended up in a restored relationship as God intended, fully reconciled. I think of another situation that comes out of my own life and experience of a man who was spending some time talking to me about his recent divorce. And as we talked, it just seemed very natural to me to bring up some verses in Scripture dealing with marriage and divorce. And I asked him to look at those verses in the light of this relationship that had gone south and sour. He said, well, let me tell you something. My ex-wife is not worthy of being forgiven. He said, you should know the things that she did to me. And literally, he went to his wallet, pulled it out, and took out a piece of paper, unfolded it, and he said, these are 25 reasons why I divorced my wife. I said, that's interesting. The question, though, that becomes, do you have biblical justification for what you did? And I went off and then came back. And he looked at me with a strange face. I mean, how could one ever forget what happened next? He said, you know, as I'm looking at these verses of Scripture, I don't think I have biblical justification for the divorce. And I said, I agree. I don't think you do. What are you going to do about that? Well, he began the process of restoring that broken relationship. Began dating his ex-wife. Restored the relationship. Got married. And invited me to the wedding. Alienation, big time. Restoration, big time. Reconciliation is all about putting aside the alienation and growing to be reconciled. That's reconciliation. And that's what we're talking about. And that's what we see in this text. But my other observation is this, that reconciliation is both vertical in our relationship with God and horizontal in our relationship with one another. In our relationship with God, I think of the great teaching concerning reconciliation that we find in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And listen as I read this section of Scripture. It's just filled with the word reconcile or reconciliation. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 21. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become righteousness of God. This is the way every one of you and me began. We were conceived in sin. We were born as sinful people, alienated from the God who created us and made us. We had nothing that we wanted to do with God. Oh, we might have had some religious customs and habits, but our heart wasn't broken. We didn't confess, did we? That we were dead in our trespasses and sins and didn't want to trust in Jesus Christ alone for our salvation. It seemed way too narrow, the thought that there aren't more ways than one. The thought that Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes unto the Father except through me. No, we didn't buy that, did we? We stood alienated from God, not trusting in the finished work of Christ. But he called us out of the darkness of our own sin and rebellion against him and broke us down by his grace, brought us back to himself, that we would then fall down before him and call him Lord and our Savior. That is the only way that one is reconciled to God, the text tells us, that we just read. It is through the work of Jesus Christ. He took our sin upon himself, and his righteousness he imputed to us. This is a great story of the gospel. The gospel is all about reconciliation. And so we see that all of us need this vertical work of reconciliation. Everyone here needs to acknowledge their own sin and come to be reconciled to God through His Son and to receive that forgiveness. Now, the other form of reconciliation is the one that is more front and center in the text that was read earlier, and that is the horizontal work of reconciliation. The work between people. Not between us and God. That's the vertical that needs to be done. And I trust you have come by His grace into His sheepfold and are numbered among those who are trusting in Christ and Christ alone. But now we turn to our relationships with one another. I think of what we read in Matthew chapter 5. It says this, "So if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift." I tried to illustrate that with the children in the relationship of my sister and myself when we were little. How important it was to come to grips with the fact that I had sinned. Yes, I needed God's forgiveness, but having sought that, I needed her forgiveness. I needed to go to her to seek her forgiveness. That's the vertical relationship. And that is something that more than likely, at one time or another, you found yourself in a position of needing to do. Well, those are the couple of observations. Simply, what is reconciliation? And then how has it played out? How is the alienation that we have with God and with one another dealt with? We do so vertically and horizontally. But now I come to the text here in Genesis 50. And it's interesting to me to see what unfolds. In these final words of Jacob, Joseph's father, he gives two commands. These are his final words, if you will, which always pulls my attention. What was it that a person said as they prepared to leave this world? I remember reading about Leonardo da Vinci saying, just prior to his death, "I have offended God and mankind because my work did not reach the quality it should have." Interesting. So humble in his own personal evaluation of what he did. But be that as it may, here we find what Jacob said in his final last words. We see in chapter 49, the first of two commands that he gave just before he died. The first command is the command to the brothers, his sons, that they would take his bones and bury him back in Canaan. He understood the great covenant that God had made with his father Abraham. And so he wanted to be buried, not in Egypt, that's not where his covenant home was, but rather in Canaan, in that place, in that plot that had been bought by Abraham many years before. That was his first command. Bury me in Canaan. The second we find here in chapter 50. It's the command to seek reconciliation. Listen to verse 16. So they sent a message to Joseph saying, your father gave this command before he died. Say to Joseph, please forgive the transgression of your brothers and their sin because they did evil to you. Now we're into the meat of it. Reconciliation with God, with one another. Here we see Jacob said, there's two things that I want, and I command you to do them. First of all, bury my bones back in Canaan. Second, make sure you're reconciled to one another. Now, think of what unfolds here in this few verses that we read. Some things that become clear to me as we look at it is, first of all, from verse 15, it included the brothers' recognition of their sin against Joseph. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, it may be that Joseph will hate us and pay us back for all the evil that we did to him. They owned their sin. They're finally fessing up, if you will, acknowledging that what they did was wrong, was evil. If there's to be reconciliation, there needs to be an ownership of sin. Second, we see in verses 16, 17, and 18 that it included the brothers seeking forgiveness of their sin against Joseph. So not only do they recognize their sin, but now they sought forgiveness for it. See, it might be one thing for you to say, oh yes, what I did was wrong, or what someone else did to me. But it's another thing altogether to go and seek forgiveness of the offended party. That's what's unfolding here. This is what Jacob wanted the brothers to do. Acknowledge your sin, yes, but more than that, go to Joseph, seek his forgiveness for the evil actions that you did. This reconciliation included, we see here in verse 17, that Joseph wept when they spoke to him. We don't have a commentary as to why he wept. I think that he wept, as we see in this context, because his brothers were finally acknowledging to him their sin against him. Reconciliation can be very painful and very emotional. I think that Joseph, as he talks to his brothers, and he senses finally a true brokenness on their part for what he did, for what they did to him, he just breaks down and cries. They finally see it. They finally get it. They finally know that what they did was evil. And then we move on, and it included giving forgiveness to the brothers. They saw their sin. They owned their sin. They acknowledged to Joseph their sin, but the transaction wasn't complete. Joseph needed to forgive them for what they did and acknowledged. If reconciliation was going to be complete, not only would there be that acknowledgement of the brothers, but there would be Joseph's readiness to forgive. And he was more than ready to do that. Because he walked in the light of God's promises. He walked in the light of the sovereign God he served. He understood something that was so important to this process of reconciliation. That when I'm hurt, when I've been sinned against, that is not outside of God's providential rule of what touches my life. Joseph understood, didn't he? You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. Pastor Josh spoke about this very verse as it was used several chapters earlier to point out the sovereignty of God in ordaining whatsoever comes to pass. Joseph knew that promise, and it enabled him as he laid hold of it to freely forgive his brothers for their sin against him. And then we see from verse 21 that having forgiven them, there was a way in which he would be able to play out the grace of God at work through him. Do you see it? So do not fear. I will provide for you. I just think this is a very touching part of Scripture. I will provide for you and your little ones. Thus he comforted them. And he spoke kindly to them. They were reconciled. Now, your life, just briefly, almost all of us have experienced a relationship or relationships strained by alienation. Perhaps it's with parents. Maybe it's with children. Perhaps your spouse you covenanted to love and care for. Perhaps your neighbors or co-workers. Maybe it's your boss. The alienation exists because you have been hurt by some action against you on their part. Or what you did to hurt someone else. And the relationship now is characterized by alienation. You're not on good terms with one another. You're not talking to one another. There's a brokenness. And I ask this question. Are you ready to seek forgiveness you do not deserve? On the other hand, are you ready to give undeserved forgiveness to the one who has offended you? I guess it ultimately comes down to this in my mind as we deal with this. Are you ready trust in God's sovereignty that causes all things to work together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose? Let's face it, it's awfully easy to justify a broken relationship. Thankfully, Joseph didn't do it. It ended on a happy note with his brothers. And as we go into the new year, maybe there's a broken relationship that you're experiencing. We see here steps that might be taken to break into the realm of reconciliation. Let me conclude with this note that I received from a person that was very instrumental in the early days of my having become a Christian at the University of Delaware. Gareth is his name, and he wrote in a Christmas note something that just seemed to jump out at me. Our greatest need is not presence, or food, or clothes, or shelter, important as they may be. Our deepest need is internal. Our deepest need is reconciliation. Once we are reconciled to God, we can be reconciled to one another. Only then can we find peace. Reconciliation has with it that fruit of restoration of a relationship that was once estranged, broken, alienated. That is indeed reconciliation, blessing. May by God's grace, if you're dealing with such a relationship, may you end the year 2019 reconciled to the one with whom you now experience alienation. By God's grace, for His glory, as you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ with all of your heart and not lean on your own understanding, would you stand and I'll lead us in prayer. Our Father, this is so easy to read and to, in a sense, gloss over, but we don't want to do that. What took place here was unbelievable. There's a high cost to reconciling. We pray that you would continue your work of grace in us, that we might seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, to pursue that peace that passes all understanding in our relationship with you and with one another. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen.